Welcome to the Elaborators podcast. It's been a little bit, but we're back, and that's all that matters. We are here for episode 49. I've got some special guests with me that haven't been here for a little while, and we're going to be talking all about relationships, family, but in the context of the church, so not necessarily your household at home, however dysfunctional or healthy it might be. Sometimes that's a bit too familiar in the church as well. So that's what we're going to dive into. And I have with me Pastor Inoke and a new guy.
G'day. How's it going?
Hey. He's a new guy. Welcome, Pastor Inoke, first of all.
Welcome.
Good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Now, the other stranger in the studio is a new addition to our church, which you're very excited about. I've got an applause button. Wait.
Oh, thank you.
How smooth is
that? Thank you, everyone. That's incredible. Thank you so much for your welcome.
This is our studio audience. They can be a bit aggressive, but they're all that matters. So this is Pastor Charlie. Everybody, welcome, Pastor Charlie.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
This is your first time on the Elaborators podcast. I applaud you again for the bravery, considering I asked you like today.
No, that's all right. Hopefully it'll go well. I may never be back, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right, we'll let our viewers decide that. I'm sure they'll be fine. So let's. What we're going to do then is we don't know who you are.
Yep.
Well, the church has been introduced to you. Pastor, for anyone not at Werribee Baptist Church, Pastor Charlie has started, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
So very fresh, but has been at the church for a little while longer. We can dive into that in a minute. But I'm sure there's plenty that our church and total strangers would love to know about you. So I thought we'd ask you some questions.
Yeah.
And in a case you can chime in as much as you feel like critiquing or throwing tomatoes or approving the answers, that'd be fine. I've got some questions for you. Some of them are radically important. Others, we'll see how they go.
Okay.
The most important one of all that I've actually put at the end, but I'm going to say it first, is what's your favorite type of chocolate bar?
Chocolate bar.
Oh, sorry. No, chocolate, because I haven't got a favorite chocolate bar.
Yeah. I really like chocolate-coated ginger. But if I had to go chocolate. If I had to go a chocolate bar, it's possibly the Whittaker's jelly tip, which you don't seem to get in Australia anymore.
I don't know either of these things.
There you go.
This is new to me.
Got to try it, mate.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, Pastor, you know, talk about wine is self-care, good nice wine. So maybe a chocolate bar part of the self-care.
So Whittaker's, is that the, jelly like tip. The butterscotch?
New Zealand one, mate.
Okay.
All right. Try it.
What's yours, Inoke, while we're here?
I don't eat chocolates because I'm sweet already.
Oh,
sorry, so I'm missing out.
I am obsessed with Maltesers.
Yeah, I could go for that. Yeah,
enough so that I will share my genius birthday idea this year, which was a subscription to Maltesers. So the way I
put me down for that.
The way I orchestrated this is somebody just buy me a box of Maltesers every month. Done. And so far it's worked. And at some point during the month, I get a box of Maltesers and it's the best.
He might have been dropping a hint for us too then. There might be a couple of months not filled yet.
It's a good obsession to take.
Yeah, Maltesers, you take that on board. Anyway, enough about me. So whatever those were, New Zealand are foreign land ones. And why are they a foreign land? Let's go there. Where are you from?
Well, actually, I'm not from New Zealand. My wife's from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So I'm from Queensland, and I suppose that is a bit of a foreign land as far as Victorians go. Yeah, we've got what they call warm weather up there.
Sure.
So, in the middle of winter, it only gets down to about 20, 25 during the day. Overnight, never gets below 10. If it does, it's front page news. So,
So how you faring?
Not well.
Not well?
I found all these shops that sell jackets and things like that.
Yeah, good.
I've never really owned too many jackets. I bought my first puffer jacket this year. That was quite exciting. They're quite warm.
That's indoctrination right there. Heading off to Uniqlo or wherever it is and getting your puffer jacket.
Yep.
That's a welcome to winter. Mm. Well, sorry about that. The good news is we're on our way out.
Yes, I'm told.
It's only up from here.
Yep.
So you're from Queensland. What were you doing in Queensland? Tell us a bit about your background and what led you here?
Yeah, so for the past 13 years, I have been pastoring in Queensland, so was ordained there possibly 7 years ago. And prior to that, I was a real estate agent and auctioneer. So I thought that I would retire as an auctioneer, but God called me into the ministry. And I think since that time, I've always believed God has led us and called us to wherever we've gone. And the Victorian move was very different for us. My sister-in-law is suffering from early onset Alzheimer's, so she's not well. And she was in New Zealand, and we took on full-time care of her, and she's also was the primary carer for mum, so we took on care of mum as well. They came to Brisbane, and became clearly evident that Winnie's not well, and she has two brothers down here in Victoria, so it was either they moved to us or we moved to them, and it was too difficult for them to come. So took us about a month to decide to move down to Melbourne to be closer to family. And so far it's been very good. But we saw God's leading all through that. And even when we're in Queensland, we began to pray about, okay, God, where do you want us to be? One of the brothers is in Altona, so we felt we had to be close to that. And when we prayed it through, it was always Point Cook or Werribee. We didn't understand why. And so as we worked through that, we began to look at where the churches were in the local communities, and we looked at Werribee Baptist, and we were like, actually, that seems like a pretty good church. And that's not just puffing Werribee up. It was the way we felt at the time. My daughter very much believed that it was too nice a church for us to go to. So okay. She felt that we would come and then we'd enjoy it and then we'd have to leave. But praise God. Yep. We came about 6 months ago, and I walked into a pastoral meeting, actually. I was invited by one of the regional consultants to come to a pastoral meeting here just before Christmas.
The network one, yeah, like the local.
Yeah. And as a result of doing that, I met Justin, who made me coffee straight up. So mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this is my church if there's coffee. But then I met the pastors and quickly realized that this is where God was calling us to be, where we were called to serve. And it didn't take me long to believe that I would end up pastoring here, even at those early stages. So we just were obedient to what God told us, and that involved me beginning to serve here, even though I wasn't a pastor. And here we are, 2 weeks into the job.
Very cool.
God's
great. So mentioned family. Who's the family?
Mm-hmm. Well, at the moment, I have my wife, Elena, who is a dentist practicing in Geelong now. I have my daughter, Rebecca, who's 19. She's been accepted into Melbourne University, and she's commenced there just this last couple of weeks, midterm entry. Okay. And my daughter, Elise, who is 14, she's going to Werribee State. So
there you go. Hmm. So welcome to all of the wider family as well.
Thank you.
How do you think have you all adjusted, other than the weather and the coffee?
Yeah, well, I think the weather's the only thing that's detrimental. For us, the church was very welcoming. Rebecca got involved very, very quickly. Thank you to so many of the congregational members that encouraged her. So she's in a life group and those type of things. She helps serve with youth. Elise has got back into helping out in Toddler Zone, which she absolutely loves. She's always done that type of thing. And so as far as making friends and connecting locally, Becky's starting to do that now that she's out and about, but she's got a good circle of friends within the church too now. And Elise, she's got a good circle of friends at school as well as at church. So yeah, they've settled in quite well.
Yeah,
and they've been very open to the move, and they're loving it so far, except for the weather.
Were you in was where you've come from in Queensland similar to Wyndham? Are you like regional Queensland sticks, or you're more suburbia?
Well, it's interesting because it's about the same distance from the city centre. So we were about 25 k's from the city centre in Brisbane. So we were on the south side in an area called Sunnybank. We actually lived in Parkinson, which was a little bit further south. But Sunnybank is predominantly East Asian. So our church was 65% Asian. And so we're about the same distance here from Melbourne as well. So very similar as far as that distance is concerned.
Yeah, okay. Mm. And so for people in our church and things, what are you hoping to bring? What are you bringing with you? The positives, not necessarily the baggage. Just that, like your passions, your interests. What are you hoping to do? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think as a family, really, we're very passionate about young adults. We engage very well with young adults. In Queensland, we had an open house policy. So pre-COVID, we'd have something like 40 young adults come through the house every week. Post-COVID, that dropped off quite a bit, but we still had a dozen or more every week come through the house. And we just want to engage with young people. We want to see them grow in faith. We want to see them to know Jesus in such a way that they can stand upon the foundations that they've learnt and stand upon that themselves, not having to seek others out. So we're very much about having open discussions, answering questions that may be difficult, and helping these people grow in faith and see people come to faith too. Mm. I just love seeing people come to faith. And Becky was sharing with me yesterday, one of her friends in Queensland has just indicated that she, from school, I mean, has indicated that she's decided to follow Jesus as well. So we're going to be having more discussions with her.
Yeah, so great.
Love that though.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Simon, I want to ask Charlie a very, very deep spiritual question before we dive into the other question is, on the day of installation, you were presented with two things, McCartney and also a bomber scarf. You know, the thing I love after the service, I saw your wife, Elena, wearing a beanie, the magpie beanie.
Yeah.
Have you made a decision about that? where you're going to go, or is still a dividing thing? Is it divide the family, or?
Yeah, I can see that this could be a very divisive thing. So I'm
it may well dictate. It may well dictate your return to the podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I'm going to walk a very, very thin line here. I'm going to say Elena continues to wear the beanie, and let's just leave it there.
Interesting. Well, yeah,
no further than it, because I know Pastor Stan would don't want to know the other part.
Interesting. Funny. All right. Well, we will watch. We will watch your growth in the football world with great interest. Just to finish off then, getting to know you a little bit, your role here. So yes. So obviously you're talking to young adults and things and the passion to that. Does that spill into your role here? What's your role going to be?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be involved in connections, and I think connections is right across the church, and that speaks into another passion of mine. So I believe in generational mentoring. I believe that the older people in our church should be honoured. They should be appreciated because we stand on their shoulders. You know, in many cases in churches, like right across Australia, it's been the elder who've held the church together. Sometimes it hasn't always been easy, but they've remained faithful and true. So our younger generations can learn from them. Our younger generations can grow in their own spirituality because of the maturity of those people. Life maturity, but spiritual maturity as well. So I'm keen to facilitate generational mentoring. I'm also keen to work with young people in helping them get to know God's word, how they can grow in faith, how they can develop prayer in their own lives, how they can worship, not just in music and song, but worship with their very lives. And so a lot of really practical things there I see as being able to be utilised and grown. Also, I'll be involved in the life groups, helping the leaders in the life groups there. And again, I'd just like to speak into that space. I'm sure there's so many groups in the church that are already doing very, very well. So it's just coming alongside, helping with any materials they may need, encouraging them, bringing new members in if they so need that as well. But just making sure they're good matches too, so that people who come into a new group are welcomed, but it's a group that works for them too.
Sounds like you're the right person for this podcast episode then. We might use that and jump into the body of the rest of our questions here. Thank you for introducing yourself to everybody. It's a pleasure to have you in the family.
Yep,
it's good to be here at WBC. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the team of Pastor Inoke, Deanna and Charlie start attacking the world. That's good. Well, okay, so you kind of touched on it a little bit there, the generational respect, value, learnings, all of that. That was a big part of what Pastor Deanna preached about on Sunday, going through 1 Timothy 5. Now, when you one thing you notice when you read through these verses is it could be a little bit bossy. Yeah. There's a lot of should nots, never do this or never that, or if this, then that. Like, are these scriptural rules? Like, we've talked the last few weeks about the context. And thinking in the context of things in these writings, does it apply to this section as well? What are your thoughts, Inoke?
Yeah, I think it's interesting whenever we read the scripture, the commanding words, the musts and rules, and we often think when we read a scripture verses, when it has this kind of direction, that we think of the legality of it, that if we do that we must. And what we learn from Jesus is that the whole must is seen in a different light. And so whenever we read Paul's letters and the epistles, often I kind of see it as an advice because there's a number of things that can be controversial as well. So the must is almost like this is the right way to live, considering the situation that we have today. Understanding the culture back then, I think is so important. At the end of the day, it's the word of God. I think if there's a must in there, it's on the basis that it's about building families, building healthy lives. So I think if it's marriage, it's about building the body of Christ, then I think we need to take it seriously in that light.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. So, you got any thoughts?
Well, I agree 100% with what's been said, but I also like bringing it back to Jesus. You know, we talk about following Jesus. And so just put that image in your mind. As Jesus walks along the road, when he sees an elderly person, how did he deal with them? When he sees someone who is sick, how did he deal with them? When he saw the children, how did he deal with them? And again, I think if we look at his example, we can see that all of those people were valued, all of those people were included, and he taught us a lot about how we should respect the elders and widows and orphans and how we should be caring for them. So I like that image where what would Jesus do as he's walking down the road and encountered these people?
So that can be applied individually, of course, like how we live out. How does it apply to the collective of a healthy church and how that behaves? And can a church be successful without necessarily loving successfully?
Oh, deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would think, I think what 1 Timothy 5, as Pastor Tiana unwrapped, is there was a stronger focus on family and the responsibility of the family. And it's important the role the family play in a part of the extended body of Christ, because the body of Christ is made of people and a lot of them are families. And if the families are not healthy enough, then the body of Christ is not as healthy. So I think it's important context to be able for family to see their role. And if we are not fulfilling our role, I think it's important for us to revisit, because it's important for the body of Christ. And when it comes to the body of Christ, it's better, it's great. It's almost like that we partnership, the collective part of the body, we partnership with families and work together. So that it's not a separation, but it's not inspired of, but collectively. But we have to work with family. If the family is just putting everything in the church, as Pastor Diana clearly outlined, that's not what Paul's trying to say here. If we fulfill our part in whatever we can, the church will step in and do this role, because the church is a different kind of context of the family. So there's a togetherness of working together, and I think the church has definitely had a role, but it's a coexisting role.
Yeah, and I suppose, like you said, what's success really when it comes to church? And I think we need to define that. You know, what do we see as success in a church environment? And we could look at it from a business perspective and say, well, this church is successful, not speaking about Werribee, but just a church in general. This is successful. They are financially sound. They own their buildings. They do this, they do that. But is that true success from a spiritual context? Is that true success from what we see in Scripture? And I think that we have a lot of gaps to fill. As Christian brothers and sisters, as a family of God. And there are going to be orphans. There are going to be kids who have no spiritual mother or father. And we should have others who are willing to step into that gap and grow these young people to know and follow Christ as was intended. And I think the same goes for the young people. They need to respect those elder people, seek them for advice when they're having difficulties rather than going to the internet and those types of things. Because the Christian context for them in seeking information from other Christian brothers and sisters is going to be more sound for them. And sure, life experience, you can get that from a lot of different places. But I think in the Christian context, we have to value family here, and we have to build up those families that are missing perhaps parts. And so mother, father could be missing. We want others to step into that role. Yeah.
And I think, Sue, a part of the success is identifying what Jesus was saying, you know, the what you do to the least of these, you're doing it to me.
Yep.
I think it's identifying who are the least here. And it might not be the elder people, because we'll be talking about the younger one, the widows, who are the least. And I think that's where the church need to, if we are to measure success, who are the least and are we reaching the least? You know, I think that will help with the measure of what success looked like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. And I love that, the success, you're right. There's so many different ways to view it, but there's really kind of only one.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the gospel getting taken and people being loved, people finding Jesus. Yeah. In terms of the elderly, you talked before about generational changes and your passion for what the elders can bring as experience and things. Is there an opposite direction?
Oh,
What can the young ones bring to the older? Because we talk a lot about, like, respect the elders. They've got a lot for you, which is obviously true.
Yeah.
What about the other direction?
I think they do have a lot to offer. And I think the one thing that young people have is this incredible enthusiasm. And I'm not sure if you remember when you came to faith the first time. Yeah, I thought I was invincible. When I gave my life to Christ, you know, I thought I could jump off a 20-story building and I'd be cool. I'd be no worries at all. And so if we can just grab that enthusiasm and point it in the right direction and live off that as well, you know, like I think that's what energizes me so much. When I spend time with young people, I just get so enthusiastic about sharing the word, about proclaiming the gospel, because they're enthusiastic about it. And they want to see their friends' lives change. They want to see transformation brought to them. So, yeah, I think you hang around young people, you're going to get spurred on to do greater things. Yeah.
I think I can sense some passion there. I love that. It's great.
Yeah. I think, too, I think there's a lot of ways that we can, be so practical about from a church point of view. I think, you know, being able to be emphasized. If you be intentional about empathy for those who are, that's a great beginning to start from. I think be able to communicate sensitively and also respectfully. Sometimes the way we communicate with disregard to affect the elderly people, the language that we speak.
Yeah.
We often speak a language, you know, the modern everyday slangs and all of that. And these, some of these people, particularly if you're in a different culture, miss out on those terminology. I think part of respecting them is watch out for the language that we do, and then learn to be sometimes be flexible and be patient. Sometimes they'll be longer. But one of the things that I find is being intentional is stop and talk. If we can get to know people, come alongside them and say, hello, how are you? It's the beginning of building a relationship. You go, it won't work if you just walk past. You see an elderly person, you just walk past them. Just stop if you are a younger person and get to introduce them, because that's where it all begins.
So the vulnerable, changing gears a little bit, mentioning the empathy around and identifying the vulnerable and things. How does a church like find them, spot them? Like obviously we want a community that would know that they're there, or that would like pass, I guess, trying to think of like passing the knowledge up the leadership chain that this person is in need or vulnerable. What are some of the ways that we can identify help? You know, these, in particular in this scripture, in particular, it's talking widows and like younger children or younger, you know, that kind of thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've noticed, and obviously only relatively new into the church, but I really like what happens at the Bridge. Went over and had a look over there.
So the Bridge is our outreach arm, for those listening, with all of our community ministries. Yep.
Yeah. And so I went over and I was part of the meal there last Thursday night. And just to see these people who come in from the community who are not doing as well as us, and some of those are widows, some of those are single mums, some of those are older people who are on their own, and just to see, it's not just about a meal, it's actually a community, and the people who organise that meal for the Bridge are just sensational. I take my hat off to them, and they're there week in, week out, genuinely loving and caring for these people. So that's one aspect. And I think in context in the church, we really rely on information being fed back to the leadership. You know, we want to care. It's not, if someone's not receiving the care that they need within a church context, it's not because we don't want to, it's because we don't know. And so I think it's important for each of us to get to know the person sitting beside us on Sunday, have a chat to them. Hey, how's things going for you? And if there's anything that we identify that needs to be addressed, we feed that up to the relevant people. And I'm sure all of us as pastors would definitely step into that space and make sure that those people were cared for the way that they need to be cared for. So it's on each of us to identify those in need and then to feed that back to the relevant area so the required needs can be met.
I think I totally agree with Charlie. As the church getting bigger, my experience is it's getting harder to identify. And I think this is where I wish everybody could listen to this, because it's about all of us working together.
Amen.
And communication is a big issue, because, you know, you go on Thursday night, the people come there, they're in need. But majority of our people, we don't know.
Yeah.
And yet it's only time when we find out, when they communicate with us, that we know their struggle. So I think for us is being able to, I did my doctoral study on casting a net, using the metaphor of a net to cast. I think it's an area that we need to grow in, to cast a net. And the more people holding the net to cast, the more we'll be able to catch where the needs are, where the vulnerable. And then the other thing is we look at our resources. We might be able to find those needs, but do we have the resources to meet those needs? Yep. Because they're physical, mental, spiritual, it's quite a lot. But we need to build our resources to match when we find those needs.
I have found that interesting, particularly for our church. I've now done, we did our newcomers event recently, and then last week we did the Safe Churches training. And I don't know many people anymore.
Yeah.
Like these are both of those events, a lot of new people that are getting training or meeting people. And it's exciting and fascinating and daunting to look around the room and be like, I don't know your story anymore.
Yep.
And I used to.
Yep.
Or I used to know much more of the church.
Yep.
So, sure. Yeah, so it's certainly a challenge, and it is that time to go alongside people, walk up, shake their hand, start a conversation. Yeah, yeah. So in the world of families then, there can be disagreements.
Oh, yeah.
Just a, you know, I'm sure, maybe just a little
every
bit.
Every week.
Yeah. Oh, never in mine.
Never in yours? Oh, great. Well, now we know.
Not in the last 5 minutes anyway.
How do we as a church family handle the disagreements of family life as a church family? Because there's always plenty of that too. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is very close to my heart because, you know, I had to work with people, with families who are struggling, and marriage is a big thing. Parenting is a big issue. So the biggest challenge is to how to do it respectfully, because you can either help or doing more harm. So it's really requires skills to be able to work with disagreement within a family. Of course, there's disagreement here in the life of the church as well. So in the life of the church, we'll deal with it in a slightly different way. But when you're going into a family life, we actually embarking, we're entering into the home environment, the personality, the culture, the differences within the context of marriage. So it's a challenging area that require empathy, that requires skills, that requires support. Mm-hmm. And building around that, my experience is care plan is a big thing, because we need to ask the question, the role of the church. The role of church in health is a big thing for me, but that's a part of it. What is the role of the church? How can we support the family? We don't always provide we don't always know the answers how to do things, but providing a support around a family is a big thing when they come to disagreement on marriages, parenting, or any other issue. So it's an area. And I think in terms of within the life of the church, I think respecting the differences. Sometimes there's a saying, a song I wrote a long time ago, right the wrong so you get along. Sometimes there's a possibility that there is a chance that my perspective are wrong. There is a 1% chance that I could be wrong. And so when we allow that 1%, it allows us to be able to, oh, there is a chance. So therefore, why should we have the disagreement to stand in the love that we are to share with one another so that we get along? So I think we have to bring some principle, godly principle, to be able to help us in disagreement, because we might never find answer or agree in things, but because of the love that we have in Jesus, and in spite of them all, we're going to still get along. It doesn't push us away.
Yeah. And so I think you've spoken about the family situation outside of the church. And I think our situation in the church, you know, we're told to strive for unity. And I think that's got to be a priority. Oh, me taking this step or me pushing back against this, is that going to promote greater unity or is that going to create breakdown? So I think in the church context, when we're talking about our beliefs, keep the main thing the main thing. You know, what are the salvation issues? What are the things that we stand firmly upon and don't compromise whatsoever? They're the things to hold fast to. Then there's going to be a whole heap of other things from Scripture where, yeah, we are going to disagree. There are going to be things that we don't agree with each other on. So they're not main things. Let's talk about them. Let's understand what you believe and what I believe, and then agree to disagree. Don't make it an argument. And I think historically, I have actually been involved with some people who are gone big with apologetics, and that's great. So apologetics, just defending our faith. That's the way it's supposed to be. But they've made them arguments. And so they've come and said, hey, I won this argument. And quite simply, take a step back. Who really won? And it wasn't the faith. It wasn't drawing that person that you won the argument against closer to Christ. And I think in all things, that's what we've got to consider. Has this conversation promoted greater unity and brought people closer to Christ, or has that actually broken that down? And I think that gets back to where you've got to go and apologize. You've got to rebuild those bridges if you can, and simply say you were wrong and you shouldn't have done that.
I was just going to ask, where does forgiveness fit in? And there's like the two types of love, right? Like, do we have to love everybody, or probably more so, do we have to like everybody in the church, or is it about the love and forgiveness of it?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting, and you'll hear me say this from the front, so I'll put this out there now. I'll say the church is full of weird people. Because they are, and I'm one of them. And praise God, because I would hate to be standing in front of a congregation and seeing a whole heap of Charlies. That would be incredibly scary. So we're all different. And I think in context, we have to be willing to accept those differences and be willing to say, well, okay, we'll go with that. They're different to me, but we can live this together. We can build each other up. We can strengthen each other in the faith, and we can serve Christ together. We're all different for a very, very good reason. And you'll reach people I will never reach, and there's others in the church who will reach people that I never reach as well. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the whole concept of forgiveness, I think to be a forgiving Christian, I think that's our ultimate goal. If we learn to be a forgiving Christian, that we deal with argument better. Mm. Because if forgiveness is a gift, if we can give forgiveness a gift, that will precede our thinking of that we got it right. Mm. Because sometimes defending a faith is different from living it.
Yeah,
we can be so bold on trying to defend a truth, when our truth, a truth is from the other people's a truth. So, but you know, the world around us, they watch and see how the truth is lived, mm. rather than what we told. So I think it's important for us to bear that in mind. And this is why Stan always emphasized, you know, Paul advised, don't argue over things that will separate you, mm. and things that the world will see. Is that what Christ followers like? So we need to be very careful whenever we argue differences. It's so important that we learn that we are forgiven, yeah. Christian.
Yeah, I think something that I should have added too, be ready to say sorry. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes even in the midst of a disagreement, if you realize that it's getting a little bit out of hand, you can just step back and say, hey, I'm really sorry. And you may not necessarily think that you've done anything wrong, but you can see that the relationship is being damaged. So you can say sorry. And if you're the first to say sorry, it often diffuses the situation. It often diffuses the argument, and everyone takes a deep breath and then can speak rationally again. So,
I like all that. I think somewhere in the middle of all that was a really good ending. I think it's a collective group of responses there. So what I thought we could do, we try and give a little bit of a challenge application each episode. And so I thought if we all went this week and you know thought prayed, who's the person that comes to mind that is in your life that's the vulnerable
or
might need a little, I don't know, go around and have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Or go take him a meal, or maybe they need to be driven down to the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, who's that person that you haven't checked in a while? And you might be suspicious nobody else has checked in a while. And go do it. I feel like that's a worthwhile attempt for this for the week, every day.
Yep, but sounds good.
At least there's a challenge. So there you go. There's the challenge this week. Think of those who may be needing something a little more than you, needing a human, and needing some love, and go give it. Thank you, both of you.
No worries. Thank you for inviting me.
I think Charlie might have passed the test. What do you think?
We'll see.
I think he did pretty well.
We'll hit him again next week.
Well, no, Charlie's going away now. He's going on holiday, and then I'm going on holiday. It'll be a little bit before we have our next episode, but we will be back. We've got a new series starting that you were both involved in.
Yep.
Breakthroughs, talking about healthy minds, bodies, spiritual. Souls. Mm, yep. That's going to be a good, exciting series. So that's coming up. When's that? August? Somewhere in August.
The 11th.
Yep. The 11th of August. So stay tuned for that. We'll have some chats. I think there'll be some good chats there in the episodes as well. Get in touch with us on the socials. Leave some comments. Give us your feedback. Were they wrong? Were they entirely wrong? Or were they good? We will see you next time.
Respect your leaders.
Respect your leaders. Squeeze that in at the end. Uh-huh. See you, everybody.